Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. Now, the woman in front of me is at the top of her game. She has boxed in the World Championships with Katie Taylor. She's sparred with Kelly Harrington. She's also gone toe-to-toe with the best female MMA fighter in the world. But as she says herself, her life has been something out of a television soap at times. Thankfully, she is a survivor. Sinead Kavanagh, you're very welcome to 2FM. How's it going?
Hell yes.
It's great to have you. I'm a little bit starstruck. I think you're phenomenal. I just want to say, first of all.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Come here, talk to me about the year. We mentioned it off air there, so you have a bit of what you call it?
Wrestler's ear.
Wrestler's ear.
That's it. From getting smacked from in the hips, like trying to take people down and hitting off their hips. And
is it sore?
It is very sore. I had to put a syringe in it every few days to take the blood out. So I'm hoping that doesn't turn into cauliflower ear.
Now you're taking on a friend of yours later this month in the Three Arena. Come on. Did you like the Three Arena? That is phenomenal. How does that feel?
It feels amazing to be back home again fighting. I haven't fought here since 2017.
Right.
And so I'm like absolutely buzzing. I'm like, I feel pumped as it is. Like, and Three Arena is just going to be explosive. It always is. It's going to be so much drink and everyone's just going to be, I'm fighting, and that's what the Irish love, you know. It's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. Fair play to you. Tell me about the prep that goes into something like this. It's a big fight. Tell me about the water load and what's going on there. How much water do you have to drink?
Oh, like, so usually we drink to keep hydrated because you're training 2-3 times a day, like, so we had to keep hydrated. So we were drinking between 3-3.5 litres a day, like, you know, like just get through the day, blah, blah. But you come to a point in with your weight coming up to the scales, like, you know, you have to make weight. So if you're a few pounds out, which I could be, like, just say I'm six pounds out or seven, whatever, you have to drink 7 litres a day. It could be, sometimes it could be more, like, it depends what weight you are, like. So you're drinking that for 7 days, you're taking away the foods, you're on very low calories, so you're drinking water instead of eating. You have to train, you're like,
is that the hardest part, the food? It's
terrible.
Yeah, I'd hate that. I heard you had to give up your Cheerios. Somebody told you to.
Yeah. I went to a nutritionist and he was just like, what do you have for breakfast? Like, Cheerios. He's like, you have to change that. Porridge.
Porridge. That make a little bit of a difference. What made you switch from boxing to mixed martial arts?
I fell out of love with boxing.
Did you?
You know, it was very, I don't know, it was old school, like, now I left boxing when I was 28, like, I went to MMA, but it was very old school. There was no funding for women at the time, like, only one woman was getting paid, like, you know, but there was nothing for the rest of us, like, and we were, like, I had a son, I was trying to, like, make a living out of this, like, you know, and it was, and just the, with the corruption as well, was tough. Where you've seen it with Michael Conlon on the Olympics, like, but aside that, there was so much more, like, behind closed doors, like, so yeah, I just got enough of it, packed it in.
I read you couldn't even afford, like, the bus fare when you go to train.
You had to go to train.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, it was terrible, like, you know, absolutely.
And you were at the top of your game. I mean, you were fighting alongside Katie Taylor in Barbados. And
and no funding, never made a dime in boxing, like, and there I was ranked 10th in the world, like, but, like, the AIBA didn't pay me, like, you know, it was just tough, like, it was tough.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when I was a single mother, like, I had just me and my son, like, and no money, like, you know.
Let's go back to that, because tell us what happened the week before you did your leaving cert.
Yeah.
It's a big week in your life.
Yeah, well, I was a little young pup anyway. I was 17 and I was pregnant. I had Leon. my son, which is, he's 18 now, which is mad. Anyway, so I had him when I was 17, but I was due him around my leaving cert, like, and so the hospital, the Coombe Hospital, the going out of Dublin Hospital brought me in and induced me, and I had Leon a week before my leaving cert. So I had my books and all in the hospital, like, and I was studying for my leaving cert, and I went back in to do it, like, you know.
How did you cope with that mentally and physically?
It was tough now, you know. Yeah. It was tough. It was tough, but I was going through a lot. So this was just another bump in the road, really, for me at the time. I had other things going on in my life, so it was just really part and parcel. Like, just do it, or else you won't have me cert, like, you know. So I'm proud that I done it.
What was going on in your life around then?
So I had Leon, like, me poor ma. You know, I love me ma, like, but she was in a car accident.
Yeah.
And she survived the car accident, but her brother and sister died, and she was left in a coma, you know. And so when she came out of that, like, obviously things weren't the same.
A different person.
Exactly, you know, like, it's very hard to deal with, isn't it, you know? So, yeah, so she struggled herself with life and her demons and, you know, medication, alcohol and stuff like that, you know. It was like, and it was like a domino effect. She was affected, and it affected our 5 kids, you know.
Of course.
So she was finding it hard to look after us. So, yeah. So
when did you get into boxing then?
I was boxing very young. I was I'd done karate when I was 8. I started karate. When I went to a boxing club and they told me to F off.
Yeah.
The women, they didn't take women. So I remember I ran running down the road crying. And so I joined a karate club, like, and I was there for a few years. Then I went kickboxing and Philip Fusco was down in Thomas Street, and then I went back to boxing down in CIE with Peter Perry, and then and Tony Davitt, and then I went to MMA. So it's been totally, all my life, it's kept me on a, this mixed martial arts has kept me on a good path, because without that, I really don't know where I've been, like, where I've been.
It probably,
like,
gave
you know,
me a bit of focus.
Of course it did. It got me up out of the bed. It got me, made me see the world, like, you know. I had no money, but I got to see these amazing places, like Tony Darrow brought me to New York and Vegas, and like without that, like, like, it was a crazy place, crazy life, like, I was having anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And this was just part and parcel of it, like, oh, where am I going next, and just looking forward to trips away and stuff, you know.
My young one just started karate.
Yeah, deadly.
any advice?
Just keep going, like, yeah, keep going.
Yeah,
yeah.
I will. She absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
And speaking of kid, Leon, you said he's 18 now. He's not a kid anymore. He's an adult. But is he following in your footsteps? Do you train with him?
Yeah, I'd actually train with him. Yeah, he's he'd be 18 in May.
Okay,
he's in fifth year. So in Parma Sound School, and
does he have a talent for it? Does he like it?
He loves jits. He loves the jits part. Like, and he's gone to the IMFs in Italy. I think it was 3 years ago. Like. So obviously with this stuff happened, he hasn't gone again, but he loves the jits and he wants to be a lawyer. So hopefully he goes down that path, you know.
He can be a lawyer if you get yourself into trouble. If you have to have him in the family, I'll take his number.
Definitely.
Off you. But it is fair to say that you and Leon, you had to overcome, Jesus, a lot of stuff in your life. You didn't have it easy, including homelessness.
Yeah.
How long were you homeless for?
I was homeless 7 years or something.
Wow.
Like that, 6-7 years, like, yeah.
Does he remember that?
He remembers he remembers living up in Cadogan and in different places in town and in Inchicore. He remembers the places, like, you know, so he does remember. Yeah.
Did you have to protect him from seeing a lot of stuff that you didn't want him to see?
Yeah, it was a lot of rough places I was in, you know.
Drugs,
yeah. Heroin. It was like a place of EastEnders, you know, people robbing each other, like, you know, neighbours robbing each other, and they were addicts I was, like, staying with, you know. So yeah, it was tough. At times, sometimes I was thinking, like, do you know what, like, F it all, and just, you know, because it was just in my face so much, like, you know, but I didn't, and something just kept me away from that.
Yeah, you must have some willpower, because, like you said, if you're surrounded by it all the time, and I can imagine, you'd probably just feel, you know, feck it, I'm just going to, you
like,
know,
I felt worthless as it was, like, you know, where everything going on, like, you know, I carried the world on my shoulders walking around, like, it felt like worthless, like, you know, it was tough, you know, and especially when you feel like that, it's the easy way out, isn't it, just to take, to take that, like, you know, but no, I kept going, I kept motivated, and it was my coaches as well were great people in my life that has kept me motivated, you know, but because it was hard up there, like, surrounded by addicts, like, and just the way to go on, and, like, now saying that my sister is one, you know, I'm not, like,
pointing the finger,
exactly. You know, my sister is an addict, and she lives in town, and she begs, and I have to see that every day as well. So I'm not pointing the finger, but yeah, it was hard, like, you know.
Do you think the hardest thing? Because we talk about addiction a lot on the show, and do you think the hardest thing for family is letting go and realizing that you can't fix that? Is that the hardest thing with an addict?
It's hard for me, ma, to see that, like, you know. You know, because my ma, obviously, she loves her daughter, but she can't help her, you know.
Well, please God, she stays safe, and someday, you know, she'll come back to you.
It's like, I was walking in town with my girlfriend, like, the other day, and then you bump into her, like, and I'm trying to get her something to eat, and she's skin and bleeding bone, like, you know, and...
She doesn't want to be helped now?
She doesn't want to be helped, no. She just keeps saying, oh, I'm trying, but... Yeah, it's terrible. She's just lost, like, lost. I'm just hoping that she will wake up and get through it, like.
Please God.
Yeah.
Please God. You're 35 now. Sorry to mention that. Yeah. Are you 35? You are 35.
I only look 20.
You do. You look very young. Do you feel that you're in a better place now than even a few years ago? I mean, how are you doing now?
I'm doing great now, yeah. I'm doing absolutely great, like, I have a good girlfriend.
How'd you guys meet? Do you mind me asking?
In the gym.
Did you?
yeah. She's from Croatia, and she's a little hot thing. She's...
Oh, good on you. Now, listen to me. Do you train with her?
No, she does weights. Yeah, she does. She does a bit, like, but not no combat sports. Like,
okay. Would you go? Have you been to Croatia yet?
Yeah, I have, and
it's
beautiful. Yeah, it's an amazing place. Like.
So she's making you happy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. As I said, in my 20s now, I did feel like that I've carried the world, like, you know, on my shoulders. Like, and it's like when you're 30 then, or something happened, I just changed, like, you know, it's just like, don't live in the past. Like, I'm just carrying that crap around me, like, you know, like, just forgive it, but you can't forget it. Like, and I feel like a million times better person for doing that, like.
Well, you got through it.
It's exactly,
and
you
life
know?
Is good.
Like, yeah, I fought for the world title. I went to Miami, fought Chris Cyborg. Obviously, it didn't go my way, but I went toe to toe with the best in the world, you know. And I'm hoping after this fight in Tree Arena that I'll get there again, and I really feel I will get there again. You know.
Are you training every day?
Every day. Like that was. It's been me life. Like I. Nothing has ever changed. That has kept me motivated on a good path. So yeah, every day I train.
How many hours a day, Tommy?
Morning, we could train, and then I'd do a bit, a few weights, you know, and then evening time. So we're talking about 6 hours a day, like.
See, I was feeling great. I come in like gloat when I do a 45-minute class, and David Lloyd, you're coming in doing 6 hours a day. There's a difference. There is a difference. Sinead, I just want to say best of luck in the Three Arena on the 25th. If anyone wants tickets, how do they do that?
Okay, so...
Don't mess this part up.
Yeah, just the
part. Your man
part.
Outside, your manager looking at me going, don't mess this part up.
You follow me on Instagram, Sinead Kavanagh KO, and the tickets are in my bio there. Just a Ticketmaster, boom, ticket, click
Ticketmaster,
into it.
Yeah,
click into it. It's on my bio. And,
okay.
And that's it. Like,
Go and see it. It's going to be a whopper of a night, and everybody should go and support. Sinead, you're an absolute legend. Best of luck.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for coming in. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.